1, begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me on the churches of Galatia. Grace be to you, and peace from God the Father, and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jewish religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter, and abode with him 15 days. But other of the apostles saw I none, save James, the Lord's brother. Now the thing which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards I came to the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ. But they heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preaches the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorify God in me. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for the privilege that we have of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a privilege it is to know that when we die, that we'll be in heaven with you based upon what you did for us at Calvary. Help us never to take that for granted. I pray at this time, Heavenly Father, if there are those who are watching tonight who are having doubts in their faith in the finished work of Christ, I pray that you just reestablish them in their faith, Lord, and help them to be founded upon the firm foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I also pray, Lord, maybe there are those who are being led astray by other truths or teachings. Lord, they're being led astray from you. I pray that you bring them to a place where they'll come to trust in you as their Lord and Savior. Again, Lord, we just pray in everything you be glorified, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. In times of trouble and turmoil, those of us who trust in Christ can wish each other grace and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who has trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of their sins, they can have grace and peace at no matter what they're going through in life. They can rest assured that God is the one who is in control. God is the one who is in control of their life, and they do not have to worry about what may happen, what will happen. Jesus gave himself for our sins to deliver us, the Bible says, from this present evil world. Even in his day, he said, this world is an evil world. And Christ gave of himself to deliver us from this present evil world. When we think about Easter, we think about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are seated with Christ in heavenly places if we have trust in the finished work of Christ. We're no longer here in this earth, as far as the Bible is concerned, of those who have trusted in Christ. We're already seated with Christ in heavenly places. We're just down here on this earth, continue to do the work which God has called us to do, to let others know about the Lord Jesus Christ, the death, burial, and resurrection, to let others know that there is hope in a sin-cursed world. This is the gospel which we stand on. The gospel is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to this earth to die on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. This is the gospel. He did it so that we as sinners could have everlasting life. He did it so that we could have forgiveness of sins. This is the gospel in which we stand on. I'm here tonight to ask you, is your stance sure? Are you confident in the gospel of Jesus Christ? Or are there other teachers who are pulling you away from the truth? Are those around you trying to tell you that you need to come another way, that there is only one way, but there are those who try to tell you that there are many ways? I'm here to tell you that there is only one way. In Paul's day, there were those who taught works for salvation. In Paul's day, there are those who taught works for salvation. He said, "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" The flesh does not save you. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that are yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is found in Christ and Christ alone." This evening, let us remember who it is that saved us. And let us look at the true gospel. And let us be wary, if I may say, of the perverted gospels or the garbage gospels, and realize the authority of the one and true gospel. Let us first look at the true gospel. What is the true gospel? Well, the true gospel is this. Jesus is the only gospel, and there is no other. Galatians 1, 6 through 7, he says, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ." Jesus Christ is the only gospel. He is the only good news. He is the way, the truth, and the life. The Bible says, "No man comes unto the Father but by him." He is the only way. There are many teachings within our world today that say, if you practice this, or if you follow this person or that person, you can end up in heaven. If you're a good person, you'll end up in heaven. I'm here to tell you that the only way to heaven is through Christ and Christ alone. There is no other way. Don't be deceived. Don't let the devil deceive you in the false hopes. The only hope that matters is the hope that we find in Christ, and that is trusting in him for the forgiveness of our sins. Let's look at some scriptures that support this. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There's no other name. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that simple. John 14, 6 says, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It is Jesus who can save you, and only he who can save you. And it is only through him that you can be saved. If you never put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of your sins, if you never come by the way of the cross, then you are not saved. The Bible says, Romans chapter 8, verse 9, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." We who have trusted in Christ for the forgiveness of sins have been born again. We have the Spirit indwelling us because we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. And we hear this story over and over and over as Christians. But let us never forget how true it is. That the story of Jesus Christ, how he came to this world, he died on the cross for your sins, he was buried and he rose again so that you could have everlasting life. That is the only story that matters as a Christian. He is the way. He is the truth. I'll give testimony of my own life. There's a time in my life when I did not know Christ. I did not have His Spirit dwelling within me. I was none of His. The Bible makes it very clearly in the Scriptures that you're either a child of God or you're a child of the devil. You're a person that has received Christ as your Savior, or you don't know Him personally as your Lord and Savior. There was a time in my life, the way I operated is I just did whatever I felt like doing. I would do whatever pleased me. I operated in the flesh. I did that which was normal. But it came to a certain time in my life where I realized that there was emptiness in that. And that came way about because there was a time where my parents had separated. And as a teenager, I can remember asking the question because I was very depressed as a teenager. What is the point of living? You think about the life on this earth, it's just trouble, heartache, sorrow, pain, grief. There never seems to be any joy. It just seems to be always turmoil. And one of the reasons why I felt that way is I came up in a home where my dad was drinking and other things were going on. And as a child, I was in turmoil. And I remember my parents separating. And I remember asking that question when I was alone one night. And the song that came to my head, I'll never forget this, and it was, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And that was really just the beginning of a path that would bring me to a place where I trust in Christ. It was another couple years or so I started going to church. And as I attended the church, I heard the Word of God being preached. I heard how that all men have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I heard how sin had entered into this world, death by sin, and things started to make sense. I realized why life sometimes was so difficult and so hard and why it seemed like it wasn't worth the living sometimes was a result of sin. And I myself was a sinner. But I also heard the good news that Jesus came to this world to die on the cross to save sinners. I heard that there was a way, there was a light, and that light was found in the Lord Jesus Christ. I learned that He loved me. He died on the cross so that I could be saved. And after hearing the Word of God being preached, and after the Spirit worked in my heart and telling me and convicting me of my sin, and I saw myself in need of a Savior, at some point in time, I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me from my sins. And ever since then, I've been a child of God. That is the gospel, simply putting our trust in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I encourage you tonight, if you've never done that, you've never trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, to make that decision and trust in Him for the forgiveness of your sins. Now, I also have to warn you, not only is there the true gospel, but there are the garbage gospels, or those who would pervert the gospel. Let's look at the book of Galatians. He warns about this in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6 and following. He says, "I marvel that ye are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and will pervert the gospel of Christ." He says, there is only one gospel. He says, "I marvel that you're so soon removed." Just think of it. You came to that point in your life and you realized that Jesus Christ was the only way. You trusted Him for the forgiveness of your sins. And you understood that it was because of Him that you're going to go to heaven. Now all of a sudden this teacher came along. He probably never spoke to you before, but now he knew you were interested in religious things. He says, "You know what? This isn't enough. You need to do more than just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness of sins. There are some things you need to add onto that so you can guarantee your way to heaven." And Paul says to these people, don't be moved from where you started. Don't forget who it is that died on the cross for your sins. Don't forget the work of Christ in your life. It was not because of the works of the law. It's not because of what you have done, but it is because of what He has done. There was a gospel going around teaching that you need to keep the law in order to be saved. You trusted in Christ, but now Now you need to follow the law. The law is what's going to change your life. The law is going to make all the difference in the world. But Paul has this to write in Galatians chapter 2, beginning at verse 16. Turn your Bibles there, if you would. The Galatians chapter 2. And we'll read beginning at verse 16, Galatians chapter 2. And beginning at verse 16, the Bible says the following. It says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. The writer says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. The writer says that the righteous live by faith. He says, I know why I'm going to go to heaven. I'm not going to frustrate the grace of God. It is because of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say it again. For by grace are you saved through faith. And not in all yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It was finished at the cross. It was finished at Calvary. When you trust in him, you don't add onto it. It is done. It was done with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you asked him to forgive you your sins, you understood what he did for you. That is where it ended. Don't add to it. Don't frustrate the grace of Christ. The law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It was there to show us, yeah, everyone's a sinner. Every one of us makes mistakes. Every one of us has lied. Every one of us has done some type of wrong in which we have broken one of the Ten Commandments. And the Bible says that if we offend in one point, we are guilty of all. It was there to bring us to a place in our life where we would see our need for Jesus and trust in him. That is what the law was for. It was not to make you the better person so you could go to heaven, because if righteousness could have been by the law, then Christ would have died in vain. Christ did not die in vain. He died with a purpose. He died to save your soul. And the law was there, simply put there, to bring you to a place where you would understand you need to be saved. It is God and God alone who justifies you and not your works. It is only because of Jesus. He is the only way, is only because of him that we will enter into heaven. Galatians 3:11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Why would you accept anything as gospel after receiving the gospel of Christ? We are to live by faith and to do the best that we can to be like him. We are to live by faith. Not only do we see the marveling of Paul that they're so soon moved, but we also see of those who are spreading the false gospel, or spreading the garbage gospels, or the perverted gospels, whatever you want to call it, the lies that they spread, that there is a condemnation for those who would spread the lies. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 through 9, the following, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. The Bible is basically saying that that person, in its more of the sense of the word, is that person deserves to go to hell for preaching such things. Those who are dogmatic in their false teaching shall suffer the punishment of God. Those who lead those who would be saved away from the salvation of Christ, Jesus has harsh words for them, and the God has harsh words for them. He says, let them be accursed. Let us also, I'm going to read another passage of Scripture found in 2 Peter chapter 2. And it's going to be a lengthy read, but it's very important, as this is deals with one of the false gospels. 2 Peter chapter 2, and beginning at verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, and beginning at verse 1. I'll read through this, and then I'll summarize it. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, but there were false prophets also among the people, as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, or their wicked ways, the way of evil living, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. These are people, they call themselves probably Christians, they say, I'm a follower of Christ, but they live in a wicked way. They live according to their own ways. They just do what they want to do. And the Bible says, because of them, the way of truth is going to be evil spoken of. And it says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and deliver them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spare not the old world, but save Noah the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, and seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh, in the lust of uncleanness, and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord, but these, as natural bruised beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes, spoiling themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Why, they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought into bondage. For after that they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse than the beginning. For it had better for them to not know the way of truth, the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in their mire. Now, I'm just going to explain this false gospel or this false teaching. There are those in this day and age who would say that, you know what, Jesus Christ, he came to die on the cross for sinners, and that everyone is going to be saved because of what he's done at Calvary. I'm here to tell you that only those who come to Christ, who know they are a sinner, they know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for their sins, and ask him to be their Savior, are going to spend eternity in heaven with him. There are those who would teach that you can live your life according to the way you want. They take Christ and they make another religion out of him. They teach that you just do whatever you want. It's going to be okay. But I can clear this up for you. And it's found in Luke chapter 23, verses 39 through 43. Luke chapter 23, turn your Bibles if you would. Luke chapter 23, and we'll begin reading in verse 39, just a moment. Luke chapter 23 and verse 39, the Bible says the following. Luke chapter 23, and beginning in verse 39, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, "Thou be the Christ, save thyself and us." But the other answering rebuked him, saying, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise." The person that comes to Christ doesn't come to him and say, "You know what? Do something for me. You know what? I want to get what I can get out of the gospel of Christ. I just want to live my life the way I want to live it, and I'm just going to use you as a way of escaping whatever suffering that may come my way." No, the person that comes to Christ is this person who understands this. We deserve rightly to suffer for our sins. When I came to the cross of Calvary and I saw myself as a sinner in need of a Savior, I didn't say to Jesus, "You know what, Jesus, I have some requests of you. This is how I'm going to live my life, and I'm just going to make my own decisions. Will you save me and come to heaven?" No, I came to Jesus understanding that I was a sinner, I deserved punishment for my sins, and I said, "Jesus, save me." That is the way to the cross of Christ. You don't come your own way. You come by the cross of Christ in humility, understanding who he is and what he has done for you. When looking at the Gospels, there's those who say, "You know what? You need to add to it. You need to do more." There are others who say, "You know what? You just don't have to change whatsoever. You can do whatever you want. I don't want you confused. I do know you come to Christ as you are, when you are, wherever you're at. Doesn't matter what type of life you're living. Doesn't matter where you are at in your life. If you understand you're a sinner and need a Savior, you come to Christ. But I also want you to understand that when you come to Christ, you come as a sinner who wants to change their life by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. You just understand that, hey, I know that I'm a sinner. Lord, will you save me?" And this is found in the Scriptures. You know, Jesus said, if you have trusted in Christ, if you truly know him, when you sin, because you're a child of God, the Bible says he chastises you. He deals with you as his children. You're burdened whenever you sin as a Christian. You understand when you've done wrong, because the Holy Spirit works in your heart to show you that you need to fix it. But there are those, some people, that can live whatever way they want to. They're never bothered by their sin. And God has a harsh warning for you. He says, if you're living an immoral life and you're doing whatever you're doing and it doesn't bother you, then the Bible says you're a bastard and not son, because he whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. And I just want you to understand that simple truth, that when it comes to Christ, you come to him as a sinner and he will change your life. when we're looking at the gospel, we've looked at the true gospel. There's the false gospels out there. But finally, and we'll be done tonight, the authority of the gospel. What is the authority of the gospel? Well, Paul gives us some words in the book of Galatians, beginning in Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. He says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the tradition of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." Paul said, there was a time in my life where Jesus Christ spoke to me directly. The truth I preach to you now, he says, I preach because of what Christ had did in my life. You can read if you want about it later on. It's the book of Acts chapter 22, verses 6 through 15. But Paul was saying his authority to preach about Jesus Christ, what he did at Calvary, how he died on the cross, how that through him you can have forgiveness of sins. That authority came from Christ himself. And for us, our authority is found in the written word of God. We have a more sure word of prophecy. The reason why I know of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the reason why I can testify unto you that Jesus saves, that he is the way, the truth, and the life, is because of the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In the book of Romans chapter 10, if you want to read about this, and more Less clearly states how that faith is what changed our life. It came by a presentation of someone who knew the truth, they knew the Word of God, and they went and they shared it, they preached the Word of God, and through that preaching, you and I, we hear about Jesus. We hear about how all are sinners. We hear about how he died on the cross for our sins. We hear about that he is the way, the truth, and life. We know all that we know because of what the Word of God tells you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1-4, it says in the Word of God, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now, I focus tonight on the gospel, and that's what I want you to understand. Remember the gospel. Remember the gospel. When you're at home and you're stuck there, I know how easy it is to, if you're not careful, it's easy to be led astray by false teachings. And you say to yourself, well, there's no one around me. Well, there's the internet. There's false teachers you can find online. There's false teachers, maybe your friends and family. But I want you to be assured of this one thing. Remember the foundation. Remember the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very simple. Jesus Christ came to this earth. He died on the cross. He was buried. And he rose again so that you could have everlasting life. You don't add to it. You don't take away from that. You come to Christ as a sinner. You know you need him to be your Savior. And it's just that simple. Remember the gospel, for it is your foundation. Any other lie or garbage that may come your way is to be accursed. Don't let it have any part to do with you. Don't have anything to do with it. The authority for the gospel is the written word of God. We receive the gospel through the preaching of the word of God. We keep clear the false teachings through the written word of God. In these days of isolation, make sure that you isolate yourself in the word of God. We have a sure foundation. That foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by Him. If you want to know for sure where you're going to spend eternity, if you're going to spend eternity in heaven, you need to come by the way of the cross. You need to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's nothing else that you can do except for accept in Him and trust in Him for the forgiveness of your sins. And that is the foundation you need to stand upon. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again, Lord, we thank You for the good news that Jesus saves. And I pray, Lord, that anyone who has been listening to this message tonight who does not know the Lord